This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
You'll say we've got nothing in common, no common ground to start from. And we're falling apart. You'll say the world has come between us, our lives have come between us. Still I know you just don't care. And I said, what about breakfast to Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. And as I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing we got. I see you, the only one who knew me.
Bit of dad rock there to start the show this evening. Bit of deep blue something. Hello everyone, welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Leng and I am on my own tonight, which makes a change. You won't get to hear the dulcet tones of Lizzie Cundy this evening. She is otherwise engaged. So you're lucky enough to have me for the next hour. Well, not just me, I've got some great guests. I have the very handsome model Jordan Charles, Cece Coleman from First Dates, who is kind of, I would say, a cult icon from the show. And then we also have Lana P, actress and singer, to talk about the work that she's been doing with Erasure. So we've got quite a good show coming up. However, there has been some bad news today. I don't know, Love Island fans. Obviously, Love Island is pretty big. One of the like the most watched show the summer of the summer or something. And it was revealed earlier today that Sophie Graydon, who's actually the first bisexual contestant on the show back in 2016 and a former Miss Great Britain, has died at the age of 32. She was found by police in a home near Newcastle. And at the minute, there's some talk. She'd recently revealed her battle with depression. It's not known exactly why she died. But obviously, our thoughts go out to her, anyone that knows her and stuff, because I know we often have Love Island contestants on the show here. So, yeah, some sad news there. Well, I guess we'll have to keep our eye on the Mail Online to find out exactly what's happened. Also, though, this is very exciting. It was finally announced for Lizzie that she that her new reality TV show for ITV is coming out. It's called A Love Island for Women Over 40, perhaps over 50, but I don't know if she would say that herself. I mean, we did recently celebrate her 48th birthday. Yeah, she's looking for love on a Greek island. It's called My Shirley Valentine Summer. And she is on it with a bunch of other I was going to say older ladies. She wouldn't appreciate that. Let's say middle-aged ladies. Nancy DeLolio, Sean Lloyd, the weather presenter, etc., etc. And they're all going on to this. They've all been on this Greek island looking for love, doing different adventures and stuff. So apparently it's coming out in July. So finally she can reveal that, because she was away for a little while she was filming it. Finally, the time has come. I'm hoping that doesn't mean she thinks she's too big for her boots and can no longer present the show with me, because I'll be very upset by that if that is the case. But shall we get on with the show? I'll play a couple of tunes and then we'll get our first guest, Jordan, in the studio.
You go, and now you're right outside. FUBAR Radio presents
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Kelly.
Would you do a mindful triathlon?
In theory, yes. I would rather do a mindful triathlon than the regular triathlon, mainly because I don't like to swim.
I've never actually had a swimming lesson.
I'm going to sound like a brat. I had lots of certificates lined up of like 500 metres, 1,000 metres, and one was a dolphin, one was a whale, and you got different badges like in Brownie. Okay, well,
Our producer has said as well, me too, very 90s.
Yes,
I was 80s. That's why, I was 80s. I'm old. We can all just drown because clearly we can't swim.
Well,
every Tuesday.
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Downey.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
I've been hearing symphonies. Before all I heard was silence, a rhapsody for you and me, and every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along, then you came and you cut me loose. Was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find a key without you, and now your song is on repeat, and I'm dancing your heartbeat, and when you're gone I feel incomplete. So if you want the truth, I just wanna be part of your symphony. Will you hold me tight and not let go? Symphony, like a love song on the radio. Will you hold me tight and not let go? I'm sorry.
First very gorgeous guest in the studio. A bit of a change to what I said. I said we're going to have Jordan on first. We're not.
It's me.
It's you. It's Cece from First Dates.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah, always.
Does it sound a bit weird when people say from First Dates?
No, I'm really used to it now.
You are?
It's
okay.
Just become 4 years in, you kind of like, it's just that thing now, Cece from First Dates. Okay, might as well be my last name.
Did you know when you first signed up to do it what kind of a cult kind of status TV show it would become?
No, I had no idea. I was clueless. I thought they were joking when I was like doing, well, it was like an audition, but not. I thought they were actually joking. I said, you want to offer me a role to serve food in a restaurant where people are on dates? I just couldn't get my head around it. And they were like, yes, it's that simple. That's all you're doing. So, yeah, it's just gone on and on. And 4 years now, I mean, I'm a professional waitress. I mean, what
so
more
weren't
do you
beforehand,
want?
Was
I definitely wasn't professional. I was something. I was throwing food around, but now I take a bit more care in what I do.
Okay, yeah, because you know people are watching.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Best behaviour.
How what's it like being involved in a show like that? Like, obviously, you're not the focus. The couples are the focus, aren't
yes,
they? Really,
absolutely.
What's it like to be a supporting character on a programme like that? But also, you're there every week, so people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a kind of
yeah,
a funny.
It's. I feel very blessed because I love people and I love their stories and I care about people. So for me, it's like the perfect job being given to look after somebody and make them feel better. I couldn't ask for anything more. That for me is the ideal job.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just become quite normal now. We know what we're doing. You know, you're making someone feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And if they've got a concern or a problem, they come to you and then you feel like you've helped them. And then you go, yeah, I did that. And then when they get together, you're like, oh, my God, it's me. I got the magic touch.
You're like Cilla Black.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, basically.
What's been your best moment doing the show?
Oh, wow. I probably say moments would be abroad when we did Italy and France.
That's nice.
Yeah,
nice little trip away.
It was, I mean, it was long days and hard work and mm-hmm. we didn't get much downtime, but you really got to, it was a real hotel feel and a family feeling. So everybody, the crew, the cast, everybody came closer because you're with these people all the time.
Yeah.
And these people are living it properly. You know, they step off a plane, they're nervous anyway, they come to the hotel, we're there to do everything, you know, take them from the car to reception, from reception to their room, from the room to the hotel.
Yeah.
And so you're playing a bigger role, you're playing more of a part. And you see them in the corridors, so you know that you're sort of on... You're constantly working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it's almost like a Love Island vibe in a way, wasn't it?
I mean, we can talk about Love Island if you want, but I am a little bit of a fan.
Are you?
Just a little bit, yes, yes.
Do you not see it as competition?
No. It's two completely different shows. Mm. I mean, I don't think there's any... It's obviously based around love and dating, but I'm not sure how much love happens in Love Island. It's like it's a different,
that's true.
You know, maybe
a couple of hand jobs
and that. Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for the next one. I've only seen one so far.
Yeah, there's only been one. I say
yeah,
a couple.
They've been really mild. It's like, guys, come on.
Yes, compared to previous series,
yeah,
I would say pretty mild.
Yeah, I've got those on record. I watch them every night too.
So, how did it first come about? Were you working in the restaurant? It's in St Paul's, right? Isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I was working in a restaurant in Soho, mm-hmm. and I was in a really bad mood. I was having a really bad day, and I was just over it.
I remember being a waiter, and that was for me every day.
Yeah, angry. Just wake up angry, go to bed angry. So I was just angry at work, yeah. And this table came in who were really lovely, and they had a lot of banter, and we just got on really, really well, and they kind of understood my anger issues.
Got it.
And they said, you know, we're actually casting for this TV show. And I was like, yeah, yeah, of course you are.
yeah, I've had that before.
Whatever. And I was like, and I'm an actress. And they were like, oh my God, are you really? And I was like, well, I've done a bit of acting. But I mean, and then I was like, oh my God, am I meant to be saying I'm an actress? I suddenly went into professional mode. And I was like, oh my God, don't swear. Like, stand up straight. You know, I was like, what do I do? And they said, no, we are really casting. Showed their cards. And I was like, oh, this is real. This is actually happening. So, yeah, 2 days later, I went for a chat with them. We just spoke about love for 2 hours, which I can definitely do.
Fine.
And then they said, well, you know, we'd like to offer you the job. And I was like, well, what is the job? I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And then I got it. 4 years later, I get it.
Finally.
Yeah, we get there.
I actually applied. And I didn't even get a call back.
Oh, God, what's wrong with you?
I was buried. And I've had two friends go on that show. Two friends.
It's definitely you. What's wrong with you? What are you doing wrong?
I put a picture up with me with Lizzie and saying, you know, I'm a radio presenter. I do all this blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just broken up with my ex. I don't really like, you know what I mean? I'm trying something new, but Nothing. Not even a callback. This
Did
is about
you do
four
a video?
Weeks ago.
Oh, so it's recent.
Yeah.
So maybe they're finding your perfect match. Mm, maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, they
maybe
do spend
just
a lot
ignoring
of time.
Me.
Honestly, like some, I've seen them in the street. Okay, so this is when I was working at Balance. Sorry, I don't know what I'm...
You can say that, that's fine.
Okay, so I was working and the casting team were walking up and down. I was like, guys, what are you doing? Hey, you know, they're like, oh my God, great banter. And I said, what are you doing? They said, oh, we're looking for something quite specific. And I said, well, what are you looking for? And they were like, well, we need a guy who's tall with dark hair, who loves music and has a big belly. And I was like, right. Okay. And
that's
definitely
a gay guy that asked for that. I can just...
Maybe. I did. I just couldn't believe how specific people can be. And we go and find that. So maybe they're just finding your perfect person.
Maybe there isn't one for me, to be honest. Maybe that's part of the problem. Obviously, you do stuff other than the filming the show, because
food.
That's only...
I do, yeah.
You're training to be a personal trainer.
I am.
Training to be a personal trainer.
Yeah, I am. I'm at the very, very beginning, so I took an exam on Tuesday, which I passed.
Well done. Congratulations.
So
a little round of applause.
Yeah, no, it's a real buzz.
Yeah, I bet.
Again, you're kind of
passing
helping
any
people.
Exam is like a...
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, even on your phone, like games on a phone gets me excited.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, hopefully, I mean, it's a flexible course, so I can do it as and when, which is great. At the same time, I'm very good at being, like, lazy. So, I'm trying to kind of get
it done.
Is
that good for a personal trainer?
Well, as in lazy and taking exams, because I just don't like exams.
No.
But as soon as I pass, I can't wait to just get people fit. I can't wait to get myself fit.
Uh-huh.
I want to see my body change and then go, oh, I can do this for me. Now I can do this for you.
Yeah. That's true. And actually, that's, I think, the bonus. Because you sometimes get personal trainers who have just been fit their whole lives and you feel like... Well,
oh, no, I'm going to do some serious before and after pictures. Don't worry about that. But look at me pre-PT. And then, hey, look at me. I'm like a meathead.
What made you want to do that?
I've always wanted to, but just never actioned it. It's always been that thing that you go, oh, I'd love to do that. And it just never came about.
Mm-hmm.
And now because the course is flexible, it just ties in with everything else I'm doing because there's no specific deadline. I've got 2 years to do it, which
Fine.
I don't intend to take. But it just ties in with my life and my world so I can... And hopefully it will all work out. You know, I'll do something around it. I want to specialise in injuries. And I've just got loads of ideas that I'd like to...
Oh, okay. So that's quite good. So you've got you do have like a plan that you're aiming
for. Yeah, because I've had a bit of back pain here and there, you know, with age and stuff. I'd like to know how to train someone with back pain.
Yeah.
Because having my own... Sorry, I just cut you off.
No.
Talking about
no,
me.
No, it's totally fine.
Because I've forgotten what I was going to say now. Anyway, it's about pain.
You want to be able to teach people who have the same problems that you've experienced.
So we know how to train them, not just go, oh, do it anyway. You know, I want to really learn every single bone in the body and muscles, so I know how to work it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
So, but you're going to still be on first dates while you're doing this?
Oh, yeah.
As long as they'll have you.
Exactly, yeah. Can you still employ me? Yeah, please. No, I hope I've got a bit longer on it.
Do you think that it could lead to other kind of TV stuff? Have you looked into more of that?
I think so. I mean, last year we did something, All-Star Driving School, and I learned to drive on TV.
Okay.
And that was...
I need to do that.
Oh, my God. Do you not drive?
No.
Oh, my
I really
God,
need
why
to
haven't
learn.
You applied
I
for
know.
This show? It's so much fun. I mean, the pressure is real because there's cameras in the car and you're like literally shitting yourself.
Got it.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I'd never stepped in a car before, driven a car. So I just had no idea. So, I mean, I think I went through the alphabet with swear words. The lady who was teaching me, she's an amazing woman. She was so patient. And yeah, we had about a week, just under a week to learn how to drive. It was intensive and yeah, but I passed.
Well done.
Yes.
So you've got a real succession of passes going on here. Everything's
listen.
Going right in your life.
Do you know what it is? I'm competitive. So if someone challenges me with something, it's my inner competitive CC goes, right, I can't fail.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, it's obviously working well for you.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
In others, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
How is your love life then? If you're so good in the show at dishing it out like Cilla.
No. My love life is a running joke. I mean, it's been a running joke for a long time
now.
I'm still single, just in case.
How long is
like,
still?
Still. It's been about a year and a half now.
Okay.
It's the longest I've been single. But I'm learning loads about myself. You know, I'm going to yoga.
Very zen.
I'm meditating. I'm the best version of me right now. You know, I can bring so much to the table. So, anybody fancy dating me, I would say yes.
Anyone.
I mean, the levels have just dropped now.
What kind of guys do you like?
Funny. You have to be funny.
Okay.
Like that whole someone can laugh you into bed, they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you seen, obviously on first dates you get to see like the good, the bad and the ugly of how dates can go.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned yourself from watching all of those different things?
Don't, this sounds so cliche, but don't let your nerves get the better of you. because I think it's so easy to get wrapped up in your own head that you, it's just when all the crap comes out, and, you know, you just chat shit.
Blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, and it's just not, it, no one's getting anything out of it. So as simple as it sounds, and as, you know, it is actually difficult to do, but you do have to try and put your attention on the other person and go, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to ask you a question and listen to the response.
Yeah.
Not think about the next question that I'm going to ask you or the awkward silence.
Like
that
an
might
interview.
Happen.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. You don't want it to be like an interview.
No,
you want it to be natural.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a flow of a conversation is actually a really good starting point. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the rest of it, hopefully there's some chemistry bubbling as well. I mean, that's just brilliant. But
is the problem sometimes that the other person doesn't give what you need them to give, or if they're just not interested? Do you know what I mean? And then it's just a blowout from the beginning.
Yeah, but I guess, I mean, you don't know that. If they're just being like they're not giving anything back, then they're probably not the right person. I for me, anyway, I can't speak for everybody, but I need a conversation to flow. I can't be the one consistently starting it. Otherwise, I'd be like, okay, this is how our relationship and our marriage and our children are going to be. You know, I'm thinking ahead. Yeah. Like, God, it's going to be me, like, supplying everything. So, no.
But that's kind of one of the problems that Alex from Love Island has, right?
Alex, hang on, which one's Alex?
The doctor.
Oh, my God, he's gorgeous.
He's gorgeous, but he can't chat.
He can't chat.
And that's a real problem.
I think he just needs to start talking about his job a bit. Because that's
to
women.
People would be interested,
you're,
sorry,
you're a doctor. Everything else, you just forget everything.
You're literally playing with your hair, even
thinking
about it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
it.
Oh my God, you're a doctor. Okay. I don't know what you do. Like, what kind of doctor? I'm not going to ask what kind of doctor because you're just a doctor.
Yeah.
And I think he should talk about that more because that's appealing. He's trying to be like, I don't know if you heard him say the other night, he went, yeah, I like cars. She said, oh, I used to sell cars. I like cars.
Yeah, like, you're not me anything Alex.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Generally, most people like cars, but, like, he's just trying so hard.
Yeah.
Love him.
Well,
he should come on our show.
Yeah, probably should.
We'd
I think
find him, love.
I don't know if you can. I think he's...
No. I haven't given up on him. He will definitely find someone.
Well, fingers crossed for him, mate. Would you ever do something like Love Island? If they came a knocking?
If I had my body in my PT shape... Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
It must be quite hard, though. I was thinking, you know, you're laying next to somebody in bed who you really fancy, and you're in there for,
Eight weeks.
Be
up to, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. I mean, how do you not touch each other?
Well, I think they do.
Well, they do, I know, but I would be so adamant that I wouldn't want to do
yes,
that.
Yes, not on television.
No.
Not in front of your mum and dad and
exactly.
various
oh,
family
proud
and
parent.
Friends.
Oh, go on, Cece. Oh, that's a good one, yeah. That's my daughter. Yeah, love her. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
I think that would be really challenging. Mm-hmm. You have some serious willpower.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yes.
So First Dates is back on now, is that right?
We're back on in August. Yes.
Okay, sorry. Right,
it's
so
right.
Channel 4.
Channel 4, always.
August.
10 p.m.
Well,
Thursdays, usually.
We usually may change.
Usually, I mean,
Who
we
knows?
Change it up. You know, we're trying to just keep everyone on their toes.
I get it. Well, Cece, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
it's been
you.
A real pleasure having you in. And best of luck with everything.
Thank you very
Can't
much.
Can't wait to watch the next series.
Thank you.
Try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. Oh, baby, refrain from breaking my heart. I'm so in love with you. I'll be forever blue. That you give me no reason why you make me work so hard.
That was a bit of erasure for our last guest, who's not actually here at the minute, Lana P, who has been working with them recently. But now we have our second guest in the studio, the very handsome Jordan Charles. How are you?
Handsome, you know. I've never been introduced as that.
Well, now you have. It's official.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank
You're
you so
model,
much for having
so
me.
So what else am I going to call you?
Yeah, I guess I am. Well... Yeah,
you are.
I do modelling, all right. I'm more than a model. I like to say.
Okay,
I like to say
fair so. Enough. Why did you say that?
Because you can be just a look, or you can be the personality behind it as well. And you know, I like
true.
To be both. I like to be both.
And that's true, actually. A lot of the big models these days are both, right? You know, you're not. They're not often just.
Yeah.
A face anymore. You have to be.
You need
a bit
that
more
character,
that
yeah, attitude. Yeah, yeah. You know, you need the whole package.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, you have a kind of a unique perspective on modelling. As you are albino.
Yeah, that's
true. Is that okay to say? I mean, I don't, you know.
Some people see it as derogatory. I'm fine with it personally.
Okay,
I'm fine
cool.
With it.
Right, okay. So how did you kind of make that into something really positive and like, you know what I mean? Because for some people it would be, it's a problem that they... Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get exactly what you're saying. And I don't want to make you uncomfortable and stumble over your words.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it did take me a while to get comfortable with it, personally.
Yeah,
but living with it day in, day out, I think it's just something that you get to grips with. I didn't really plan on doing the modelling thing. People just started telling me, like, oh, you're so striking, the way you look.
You are.
Yeah, so that kind of got me into it. But later on, like, I mean, like, it's... it's kind of, I wouldn't say held me back, but it's also been like an obstacle that I've had to overcome in the industry.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually thinking when I was on my way here about how people really celebrate difference these days.
Yeah.
And how like Winnie Harlow is like one of the biggest models going at the minute.
Yeah,
You know, and before that would have been considered something that you wouldn't want to put on the cover of Vogue.
No.
Like she has vitiligo. Now, people really want to celebrate those differences, don't they?
They do. I'm a massive fan of Winnie Harlow, personally. But the industry, without me slating it too much, they have a funny way of making it look like they're doing things, moving towards diversity, when really they are actually kind of staying still, but including a few people. Winnie Harlow, take it. I mean, she's a beautiful girl, with or without vitiligo.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And I feel like they've been like, okay, look, she's... the vitiligo person that we're gonna let blow, like she's beautiful, we're gonna let her in the industry. Again with Sean Ross, who's another albino model, very beautiful guy, and he has been given a chance by the industry. But me myself, I've been told by agencies, you know, like, there's already one of you in the industry already, and you know, like, how can you have one model from a type of diversity?
It's a joke.
Yeah,
but is that hurtful when you hear things like that, or do you kind of take it on the chin? And
I know the industry's tough, whatever you look like. I mean,
it's
one of them cutthroat industries. I think it almost makes me want to push for it more.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you have to overcome these things and become a strong person. You know, I wouldn't say I'm untouchable right now, but like the strength that's been built up inside of me, like I almost owe it to these people.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really nice. Like, it's obviously nice. And I, you know, growing up gay in a small village, you know, you learn how to like eventually celebrate who you are, but it does take time, right?
Yeah,
like it's something
it does.
So what kind of stuff have you been doing modeling?
So modeling, the main things that I always bring up, because it's the things that people know. So I've done like an ASOS beauty campaign last year.
Nice.
Which was celebrating kind of individuality.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm a perfect fit for something like that. Recently, I've been doing a lot of magazine stuff, a lot of interviews. I'm trying to almost take a step, not away from modelling, but use the modelling to promote like awareness in albinism.
Okay.
So I had a video with ID magazine recently that I produced with my friend Nadira. I started it.
Now, don't big yourself up too much.
No, exactly. I can't produce. I'll put my hand up to that. But yeah, that was just all like, it was a 2-minute clip, a very spontaneous thing that we just made, and just kind of a little bit of awareness, but not too much.
Yeah.
You know, if something like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't even want to sit through that. Are you gonna sit through that? You know?
True. You know, you've got to know your audience and know what people want to see.
Of course. Short and sweet nowadays. Like, people love their short videos.
Instagram you watch videos.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Mm. What do you kind of want to do long term?
I would love to be a TV presenter, personally.
Really?
That's what I've always wanted to do, purely because I see the gap in the market there. I haven't seen an albino TV presenter, especially a black albino TV presenter.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that was unheard of, and I feel it's like that connect, something that will make you feel a little bit less alienated as a kid growing up with a condition. Like, yeah, you can relate to someone in the public eye.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good shout, and that's a good point. Yeah, it's not something you see on TV.
No.
But you think, like, the way the world's going, that more and more inclusion, it should... I think you've probably got it exactly the right time, to be honest.
Let's hope so. If there's any TV people out there listening, you know, slap me up.
Well, you seem very natural, and like you're very easy in front of the microphone. So,
It's just taken time. I would, like, ask me a few years back, I would have never been like this.
Really? Why is that?
I just think when I wasn't comfortable within myself, I wasn't comfortable sharing that with other people. So now I just feel comes naturally. We're just having a chat here, you know.
But I think a lot of people, it's a weird one, isn't it, because it's not really spoken about. People aren't talking about albinism as something big at the moment, are they? It's not, whereas people like Winnie Harlow, they're, like you said, it's a bit of a grey area.
But I hate the fact that these things are being used as trends. Like the freckles, like I've seen lot of models with the freckles last year, and then like it's like it's almost fizzled out a little bit. I mean, they're still using a couple, but they're using it like a trend when this is actually how we live our life. You understand? Like, we're like this all the time.
That was like, I remember it was Meghan Markle actually at her wedding with Prince Harry, and they were like, look, she's got freckles. Isn't this incredible? I'm like, it was funny actually, because I went a couple of years ago now. I went to this place to have a facial, and they were like, oh, you know, we can get rid of your freckles if you like. And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize it was like a thing that I should be thinking about.
Embrace it, man.
But it's weird, you know, like it was only when they said that I was like, oh, do I have a problem?
People do it the other way around, though. People who don't have freckles will be putting them on with makeup.
Topshop actually sell special pencils, right, that you can draw freckles on with. Like... I mean, it's all a bit...
What do we do? Do we have it? Do we don't?
What's in? What's not? Yeah. Do you want to do more of the modelling, though? Like, kind of, do you want to... Have you done catwalk, that kind of stuff, or are you...
I've done some catwalk stuff, I would love
What was that like? Did you enjoy it?
Nerve-wracking, to say the least. But really, really fun. You almost get, like, a rush of adrenaline before. It's like nerves but excitement at the same time. It's really fun, and before you know it, it's over and it's done with, and you know, you don't know what you're worrying about. I'd love to take it to the next level. I feel like I'm definitely trying to take it to the next level. At the minute, it's things like at agencies and casting agents and things that I would say are holding me back. Like, I've got quite a good body of work, but agencies really want me to prove myself, whereas it's not something that's commonly done with models. They'll pick a kid off the street and be like, yeah, sign with us. But then for me, they're like, oh, well, we want you to have this, that, the other. You have to be getting paid work every week. It's like, why are you treating me different to how you treat the rest of the models?
But that is that, like you said, kind of just the modelling industry? And, you know, every individual model has their certain look that people are looking for? And
yeah, I think so. The industry, it is a funny one, and I can't say I know it in and out. So a lot of this stuff I'm saying, I suppose, is maybe just assumptions that come from my end. I haven't tried to be a model without albinism. I don't know how tough it could be. Some of the comments in that not puts me back, but some of the comments, I can't believe people are saying this. I can't believe people are really saying this stuff.
Well, that must be pretty unpleasant.
Yeah, but it goes on, you know, it goes on.
It happens regardless.
Let's get over it. I'm very good at dealing with, rejection as such. I'm good at brushing that stuff off. Don't mean anything. You know, I go to sleep, I wake up the next day and I can start
again. You're fine, Totally. Yeah. Are you actually into fashion yourself?
I got a lot more into it as I got into modelling. To be fair, I thought I dressed well before, but then when you get into the scene, you realise that you really don't dress well compared to a lot of these people. But I try.
Do you think you have to spend loads of money to...
Some people will make you believe that. It's not always the case. Mm-hmm. And if you get to a level, I mean, some people, and I want to send out a massive thanks, some people send me clothes for free, you know.
Nice.
So it's not always the fact of having to pay for it. It's just the fact of how you style it, how you put it together.
And you also, I hear you do like a cooking show, right?
Yes. That's like my first taste of presenting, really.
Tell us a bit about it.
So it's just six people who haven't really had much experience cooking, and we're trying to learn. So a bit mad. The concept is something that almost hasn't been done before, but it's relatable. It's relatable to the youth, and we're trying to make cooking cool. We're trying to make it cool.
Okay,
again.
So you literally came into it like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
They was looking for presenters. I wanted to do presenting, so I applied, and then like this kind of just got pushed on us. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, and you enjoy it?
It's a whole lot of fun. These people are people who I'm grateful to have in my life. I'm glad that I met them, to be honest.
Awesome. Where can we check you out on social media?
Instagram at Jazzy Jords. Make sure you hit that up. If any big brands listening, hit me directly.
You know, he wants more clothes. Yeah,
Donatella Versace, you out there? Hit me. just Instagram, really. And if you want to check out Bad Canteen, that's the cooking program. It's on YouTube. Hit that up. It's on Cairo TV. Blam. Just type in any of their buzzwords that I told you and you should be able to find it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
My man, thanks for having me.
That was interesting. I want to hear more. I want to see more of
you. Part two coming soon. Don't worry.
Yeah,
part two.
Definitely. Honestly, Jordan, thanks so much for coming in. It was a real treat.
Yeah, thanks.
And I'm sorry about what we're about to play, but that was actually my producer's idea. We're playing Fashion by David Bowie. I'm sorry about this.
We're coming to town. Beep, beep.
super pleased to have a very handsome Jordan in just then. But now we have our final guest.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, I have to You're say there. Hello now, am
you
I
can.
On? Hello, everybody.
Introduce yourself.
Well, no, you introduce
All right,
me.
Fine.
I'm the guest. And make sure that it's a full rounded, you know, like up it, you know.
Well, that is not
big
my,
it up,
that
big
is
it
not
up,
my style,
Steve,
darling.
Please.
We have the very gorgeous Lana P here.
Why I'm here? I'm not getting paid. Why I'm here? I don't know. But, you know, I thought charity.
We are a very good charity case.
Yes.
So we appreciate you coming in.
What does FUBA mean, by the way?
It means fucked up beyond all recognition.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you certainly live up to your reputation. Sorry, so I didn't mean that. You know, sometimes I trans-channel evil. I'm a bit like a Tory, I trans-channel evil. I'm sorry.
What's evil about Tories? Please tell me.
Oh, I don't really want to go into it, really, because, you know, they know they're suffering and I'm not here to rub it in.
Fair enough. How are you?
Well, I'm all right, Steve. I'm really well now that I'm with you.
I'm glad to hear
yes.
that.
Yes. Lovely.
What's been going on? We've been bigging up your Erasure
collaboration
so far. We actually played a bit of Erasure earlier.
Oh, only a bit. Well, then we're not getting many royalties then, will we?
We're not an Erasure special show.
Oh, what a shame. I thought that's what FUBA meant. There you go.
Explain to us a bit how that came about.
What happened is that it was a hit for me in 1986. I heard my old friend Pete Burns and Divine's, you know, hits, and I thought, oh, I'm a bit like them. Or oh, they're a little like me.
I see what you're doing there.
A paler version of me. So I thought, right, I'll go track down Stock Aitken and Waterman. So
as you do.
As you do, you know, bold as brass. And not that I had any brass at the time. I had fame, but no brass. Now, who
Got
wants
it.
That?
Got it.
You know. So anyway, I went traipsing up to Vineyard Studios in the Borough.
Okay.
And marched into Pete Waterman's office. And I said, oh, Pete, you know, oh, yeah, Lana, you know, Comic Strip Presents everything. Because mm-hmm. I was doing the Comic Strip Presents then. And so I had a bit of profile to, mm-hmm. you know, give me that bit of cachet and bold as brassness. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've got this song that I want you to make into a hit, Pete. And he said, oh, well, can you sing a few bars? And I said, yes, it goes, surrender your gender, agenda bender. Surrender your gender, agenda surrender. Well, anyway, he absolutely cracked up. Fell off his chair, literally, almost rolling around on the floor, holding his stomach. Anyway, I thought, how rude. So after he'd composed himself, he
it's
said...
It's not very Stock Aitken and Waterman lyrics, is it?
No, no, and I think it was a bit too avant-garde for
Got
him.
Got it, yes.
He said, I don't think it's actually going to get Radio 1 airplay. Radio 1
Fair.
Airplay,
Fair.
Lana. And I went, oh.
Do you think?
I thought they were progressive. Not that progressive, Lana. Right. He said, you remind me of Mae West. He said, you know, just like every syllable you utter has a kind of, you know,
meaning behind
naughty innuendo about it. So I said, well, don't get too excited. I said, because you don't look as if you can afford luxuries to me. So anyway.
Poor Pete.
Poor Pete. So anyway, he said, I've got something in mind. So he went to his songwriters, Morrison and Washburn, and they came up with this Pistol in My Pocket, which was obviously a tribute to one of my spirit guides, the great Mae West. And mm-hmm. also, it was just very transparent in its motivation. It wasn't as covert as, you know, we all know, you know, what Pistol in Your Pocket is referring to.
Oh, no,
to.
Please explain.
Yeah, well.
That's, I get it.
I don't want you to get too excited. Because you're another one that don't look as if you can afford luxuries. Anyway, so
you think correctly.
Just
I have
drink
to say.
Your wine through your first time I've ever seen anybody with a large bottle of wine with a straw in the end. Anyway, that with a teat on the end, and anyway, enjoy.
Excuse
and
me.
do you ever get anybody from AA in here to interview?
Carry on.
I'm just leaving it with you. And I'm not judging, Steve.
Carry on.
Don't judge. And I feel paralytic just breathing the air. Anyway, could you open the door, please? Anyway, so Pistol in My Pocket came about, and it just took off. Now, interestingly enough, there was this DJ in Australia mm-hmm. that got hold of it, Big Jono. Do you remember Big Jono? He used to do all the telly programs and everything like this
no.
morning. He had a big, you know, a sizable stunt over here mm-hmm. at one time. So Big Jono got hold of it and started, you know, smashing it out on the airwaves over there. And it was actually all the heterosexual clubs and DJs that started...
The worst kind.
Yeah, playing Pistol in My Pocket. And then the gay DJs and clubs picked up on it. Mm-hmm. And it became a top 10 hit in Australia, all over Australia. And, you know, like I did an interview with somebody called, with the famous Molly Meldrum from Countdown, which was our equivalent of, I don't know, an ITV chart show,
okay.
Top of the Pops, which I have appeared on twice.
Okay.
So, sorry, I'll pick that name up off the floor in a moment. And
but hold on, so it's being re-released, right?
So anyway, so here we are going off in a tangent. Was I going off in
you
a tangent?
You are going off in a tangent, and
well,
we don't have
all
long.
Right, just bring me back. You know, I'm a woman of a certain age, and the thing is, and I can certainly bear a grudge. What happened was, I think early last year, somebody who, because Pistol had been a soundtrack to lots of people's lives, right, mm-hmm. In the 80s and that. So I had somebody who was living and born in South Africa. Approached me and said, would you be interested in doing a totally fresh version of Pistol in My Pocket? It was the soundtrack to my life. You know, it was like one of the signposts. You were one of the signposts on, you know, the road to Damascus. You stopped my pendulum from swinging. This first time I'd heard about his pendulum, and I didn't want to know anymore. And so he said, would I do it? Or, you know, would I do a real fresh version and keeping all the magic of the old one? And I said, so long as it's at no cost to me, the artist, I'd be very happy.
Absolutely.
And
fine.
You're going to have to put that down in writing. He said, absolutely no problem. So went into the studio, did a fresh version of it. And I thought, we could put this out and it just be, fresh version of Pistol. But then I thought, maybe I should get round my friend Andy Bell from Erasure, because Andy is a brilliant DJ, right?
Yeah.
As well
yeah,
as a brilliant yeah. talent, he's a brilliant DJ. And I knew that he was mixing things. And so anyway, I got in touch and I said, oh, Andy, do you fancy like giving Pistol in My Pocket a 2018 remix? And he said, no. And I thought, right, well, that's that friendship over.
Well, screw you then.
And here's a doll waiting for pins to go in it. And he said, no. He said, but I will ask Vince Clark, to do a mix. Anyway, Vince said, oh, yeah, you know, I have a lot of respect for Lana and love the song. And I said, oh, is that Show a Little Respect to Me?
That was what we played earlier.
And, anyway, so is that the bit you played?
Yeah, we did. That right. exact. That,
you've got tuppence note. Coming to your erasure.
And, probably not even that.
Yeah, no, probably not. Well, the way that the download
tell me about it yeah.
system works. So anyway, so Vince Clark did this really brilliant right across the board mix of Pistol, and I'm thrilled.
Would you like to introduce it to close the show?
Right, okay, so here is the 2018 Erasure Mix by the brilliant Vince Clark of my 1986 worldwide hit, Pistol in My Pocket. Oh, take it away.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Till next time.